Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the Unveil Christ to the World broadcast. We're heard on this station every day, Monday through Friday, at the same time. Yesterday, I began a message by asking a question: Who are you? And we laid a foundation that there's only two groups of people in the world, the saved and the unsaved. Those who are under the control and dominion of Satan, the god of this world, has darkened their minds, or you are a child of God. Now, I will be addressing those of you that have accepted Jesus. You are a child of God. You've been born again. You become a new creature. The Holy Spirit of God comes to dwell within you. But from the moment of your natural birth, there was the beginning of satanic assignments against you. It seems some of God's choicest vessels have had perhaps the most difficult of upbringings, childhoods, or things have happened in their life that the enemy was attempting everything in any way he could through circumstances or people or situations to prevent them from a wholehearted recognition and serving God. And once one does, then he tries different objectives, to make you so angry at God or feeling defeated and frustrated why prayer isn't being answered. Many people just throw up their hands because the battles are too hard and they just walk away. So there's our natural birth where the enemy, I believe, he knows those who belong to God. You may, depending on when you were saved, in my own life, I was in my 20s before I acknowledged Jesus, and God's hand of protection was on me, even though I had no intention of serving Him or ever being in a church again. So what happens in our natural birth, God knows those who are His. Why? Because that scripture I shared with you yesterday, Ephesians 1, 3, and 4, He's chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world so that we could be holy and without blame before Him in love. But when we actually acknowledge Jesus, when we have a time of our spiritual birth, if you will, that is the beginning of a time in which God begins to work in your life. Romans 8, 18 and 12. Let me share that with you. This is Paul speaking. I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Beloved, we are the sons of God, the children of God. There's no male or female in Christ, and so we can say the sons of God. For the creature, that is all of creation, was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of Him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. So a time is coming. All the animals, all the natural world has suffered from the effect of the fall, man's disobedience, because man was given dominion over this natural earth that we live in, that to subdue, to take care of. And we failed because we were disobedient in the one command that God gave, which was not to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So how does this process work? How do we grow in the knowledge of God? And how well do we understand who we are, that we have been ordained before the foundation of the earth to be alive right now at this present time, that regardless of how you may have thought of yourself, you are an intricate part of the plan of God. You are part of His body if you are a born-again believer. And God puts us in the body as He sees fit. When one suffers, we all suffer, even though we may not have intellectual or cognitive knowledge of it. But beloved, a time is coming when the Spirit of God is doing a work in all of our lives to purify, to refine us, so that we will be a fully mature child of God when Jesus comes. We won't be perfected until He comes, but we will, with our hearts, desire to love Him and serve Him and do everything He would have us do, to seek to obey Him. So, having shared this, now let's look, because, you know, and I've preached out of this book, Habakkuk, a number of times, but I'm going to take a little different approach, and I want to make this a very personal message for each of you listening. In Habakkuk, well, let's just take a look at the opening of the book. Habakkuk has a burden. He's a prophet, and this could be our heart's cry during the times in which we're living. He says, O Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear? At least it appears that way. He doesn't see any answers forthcoming, just as we may see wonderful answers in individual lives, but we look at society, we look at the terrible things that are happening in that society, here in America, around the world. We cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save. Why dost thou shew me iniquity, and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that rise up strife and contention. Therefore the law is slacked, and judgment doth never go forth, and the wicked doth compass the righteous. Can you say that today? Therefore wrong judgment proceedeth. And then the Lord interjects some comments. In verse 12, He picks up His complaint. Art thou not from everlasting, O Lord my God, mine Holy One? We shall not die. O Lord, thou hast ordained them for judgment, and O mighty God, thou hast established them for correction. Here, faith is beginning to arise, and he knows the nature and the goodness and the justice of the God that he serves, that a time is coming when all wickedness, all iniquity, all evil shall be dealt with. But God is patient and long-suffering. He's not willing that any should perish. So he allows iniquity and evil to seemingly prosper until the cup of iniquity is filled. Remember what he said about the Amorites. And so, beloved, God knows exactly what he's doing. In spite of how we might view them, things are not out of control. He is on the throne. He rules and reigns and has absolute power and authority over everything that is occurring on this earth. Hallelujah. And so, let's now go to the second chapter of Habakkuk. And he, you know, as I said, he's complaining and he's seeing the wickedness of the society in which he's living. And he says in chapter 2, verse 1, I will stand upon my watch, set me upon the tower, will watch to see what he will say to me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, and he did, for all those generations following, and make it plain upon tables that he may run that read it. At one point he said, it is for an appointed time. Verse 3, for the vision is yet for an appointed time, and but at the end it shall speak and shall not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Beloved, we know God's word is true. We know a time is coming. Then when he returns, righteousness will reign on the earth. There will be no more wars. There will be no more wickedness and evil. God will be king. He will rule and reign as king in Jerusalem. And then he says something interesting. In verse 4, it sounds like there's a change of subject, of direction. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. And I would suggest to you, his faith, of course, means the faith of the just, but also we're to have the faith of God. We can have his faith, the faith of Jesus. Amen. That's what he wants us to have. He's the head. We're his body. We have his mind. Isn't that right? Because we are, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. So let me share now another translation of that same verse, Habakkuk 2:4. As for the man of pride, my soul hath no pleasure in him. This is God speaking. But the upright man will have life through his good faith. And so we see that of all the things that we need to flee from, that is pride. Pride in all of its forms. It was indeed the fall of the most brilliant and powerful and beautiful of angels, that of Satan. We see that in Ezekiel, the 28th chapter, verses 12 through 17. I'll just start in midway between in verse 12. Thus saith the Lord God, speaking of Satan, he's talking apparently to the king of Tyre, but there's references to Satan. Thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. He goes on, thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways until the day that thou wast, that until from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. This was the sin of pride. And I would suggest to you that spiritual pride that is in the natural man or even in God's people, that's why we have to ask God to renew a right spirit within us. It's the most deceptive and the hardest to detect. Psalm 138 and 6 says, though the Lord be high, yet he hath respect unto the lowly, but the proud he knoweth afar off. He and he is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart and contrite spirit. Well, my time is gone, and we're going to pick up tomorrow at this same place. I invite you to join me. And as I always do, if you are in a place of difficulty, and I'm speaking regarding personal issues, and even if you don't want to share the details, even if it's just an unspoken request, many times I will do that and just pray in the Spirit. Why? Because this is the most perfect prayer. God knows how to pray for you. I don't have to understand. No one else is praying. I am praying with you. I'm the one that answers the mail. So I love you. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.